The difference between what we do and what we are capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. The difference between what we do and what we are capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. This is the thought for today from Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. We have our friend Mahatma Gandhi to thank for this wonderful statement. The difference between what we do and what we are capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. Now, I'm sure Mahatma Gandhi meant the following remarks I'm going to make, but if he didn't, we'll thank him anyhow. Mm-hmm. We have the capacity to speak our word, and we have the capacity to not speak our word. We have the capacity to see a problem and call it a problem, and we have a capacity to see a problem and call it a solution. Now, you say that's not just all that easy. Okay, so we see a problem. The two boys are fighting with each other. The two men are fighting with each other. The two countries are fighting with each other. The two nations are fighting with each other, etc. What do you do about it? Pull out your hair and say, oh my God, how terrible. No, everyone is handled exactly the same way. Whether it's two dogs and two cats, or two dog and a cat, or whoever is having a tiff together, or two children, or two adults, or whatever, two countries, it's all the same thing. There is a statement, there's peace on earth, and it began with me. It's done. It's already done. So when you see a conflict, you immediately put a cause in motion for peace. So you say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's a dog and a cat fighting, or two children fighting, or men or countries. It's all the same thing. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. You notice the conflict. You notice the problem. You notice the unhappiness. You notice whatever it is. And perhaps you're the only one that notices it, too, because you're such a picky person, you know, detailed person. That's not bad, but you can be a detailed person in something that's good, too. Now, how can you say there's peace on earth when countries are fighting? I mean, right now, America's getting ready to go to war, and Iraq is getting ready to go to war, and all the countries in the Middle East are thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, what's going to come of this? It's going to affect us all. And the stock market, I tell you, what a bunch of idiots. The stock market people are saying, the best thing to invest in these days is the militaries. Anything concerned with the military. You invest in something that's going to be used by the military for the forthcoming war, because that's what's going to take place. My goodness sake, they love it. They love this war. They love the conflicts. They love these things. And it's all for economic purposes, and we know that. And men, women, and children, let's turn it around, children, women, and men, children, women, and men are killed because countries want more money. They want more economic control. They want more power. They want to prove that they're right. Then there's another series of newspaper articles and magazine articles that are going out and saying, okay, let's have an open bet now. By the 1st of April, will Hassan be dead? Will he die a natural cause? Will he die because somebody gets to him? Will the countries go to war? Will this happen? Will that happen? Betting on things like that. I mean, this is not unusual. This goes on, has gone on throughout all the time that I know of during the Second World War and peacetime and what have you. People bet on the possibility of it being bad. Well, why don't you bet on the possibility of it being good? I bet you everything that I have that there's now peace on earth, and it began with me, and it's everywhere. But see, you don't have to bet anything. You just have to put your consciousness there, and that's a lot. That's a lot. Now, Mahatma Gandhi said it this way: the difference between what we do and what we are capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. And he probably should have said all. But most is a generous attitude for a person who's not totally into the thinking that we are doing here. Would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. He didn't say getting out and having a battle. He didn't say getting out physically and doing anything. He said the difference between what we do and what we are capable of doing. See, it's what do we do in our mind? What do we do in our heart? What do we think in our thoughts? Do we think that it's a terrible situation? When the doctor calls you in and says, "Hey, I forgot to tell you something. Come in my office." And you think to yourself, "My God, what's he going to tell me?" Instead of saying, "Ah, yes, everything was perfect. He didn't give me the report, so that's good." Well, he could have given it over the phone, but they don't do that. Now, what are you going to go in and anticipate? What are you going to put in your consciousness? You're the master. It's concerning you. What are you going to put in your consciousness? All is in divine order. Seriously? All is in divine order or not? Yeah. Did I tell you the other morning about faith? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a talk? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you see, she wanted to remain in her apartments. And I said, just say all is in divine order. And when she hung up, the phone rang, and it was the department manager saying, all is in divine order. You didn't say that. But all is in divine order. We've got a 5-year contract, and everything remains just like it was. Hooray, she said. Well, I'm not saying against faith, but why don't we do this for ourselves? We don't need to go to a practitioner. We don't need to go to a minister. We don't need to go to anybody else. We just say it in ourselves with the same lovely conviction and belief. Now, how can we do that? Well, Mahatma Gandhi says here, the difference between what we do and what we're capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. Now, we could solve most of the world's problems if we would just take charge. If we would just be master of our circumstance. Faith, are you going to be able to live in that apartment? Is everything going to be in divine order? I don't know. Come now, come now. What do you say? Oh, yeah, right. All is in divine order. I will be living here comfortably for as long as I choose. Well, that's not too good either. Because you may be frightened and want to move. You may think the water gets high from the river down there. It's going to come up in your apartment. And it has come close, but not into your apartment, because you're about 4 or 5 feet higher than the flooded area. And da-da-da-da. You know, we build up monsters for ourselves. And then we wonder why those monsters take on form and shape and substance and destroy us. Now, all she has to do is say, I'm always living in my perfect place. I'm always living in my perfect place. Isn't that something? I'm always living in my perfect... And then where will she be living? Not there, not anywhere, but wherever it's her perfect place. And if that's her perfect place, she'll be there. You see? Now, would she object to moving into a larger place, you know, maybe one or two bedrooms. So she's got one bedroom now, so that she could have a place for Mark and for her study and for whatever, you know. Would she like to have enough abundance to live comfortably more so than she is now? She's doing quite well. Sure she would. She'd like to have her hair done every month. Cost her $100. $100, my God! You know? She got to go in and have a check, but that's her only joy. That's her only her only activity, her only peace is just to have that beautiful head of hair. Well, it's better than a lot of things people have. So, who are we to judge what is the choice of how they spend their money, how they live their life and do their thing? All we can do is say, all is in divine order. Without judging, without saying what's right. Now, the two boys are fighting. One boy gives the other a black eye, and the other gives another black eye. They're both standing there with their black eyes saying, you see mine, see mine, see mine. And so the mother comes along and says, you terrible children, fighting. They've already gotten over it. The battle is over, and everybody won. There's no more conflict. Mother comes along and makes a big fuss out of it because she wants to be the ambassador. Well, ambassador of what? You should have been the ambassador when they first started fighting, if that's what you wanted. And when they first started fighting, they were fighting because they wanted to show off. They didn't want to hurt each other. That was just a matter of a game. It was like playing a game of soccer or something, you know. But we interpret it the other way. We have wrestling, boxing, all sorts of games like that, and we don't think anything about that. But we try to put into the mind, now I'm coming up with something interesting here, we try to put into the mind of one of the opponents, see both as the opponent to the other, one of the opponents, he's terrible, he's terrible, he's terrible, he doesn't deserve to win, he's terrible, he's terrible, he's terrible, you know. And so everybody's going for the not terrible guy. But maybe the not terrible guy is the guy who put the thoughts in their mind that he's terrible. And maybe he's not really terrible, but the guy who put the thoughts in your mind is terrible, which is true, because he is engendering the fight. He is encouraging it to continue. Okay. Think about that. Think about that. Now, what do you do in your own life? What do you do in your own everyday life? Do you encourage the anger and anxiety against somebody else? Do you look at somebody else and do you say, they're terrible? Do you look at the newspaper or magazines, see articles about people who've done something bad, and you say, they're terrible? Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Perhaps they have it all wrong. Maybe they got it right. But it's not the matter. Who are we to judge? What do we say about something we might read?
All is in divine order.
Exactly. That wasn't so hard, was it? Mm-mm. You see, I give you these simple, clear, divisive statements that function, and I want you to say them, and I want you to learn them. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I don't just say every organ, action, function, my body is whole and perfect, and that I live in the temple of the living spirit and all that sort of stuff. I just want you to learn I'm whole and perfect and whole and perfect. When you say I'm whole and perfect, you get that rhythm, that thought, that concept in your mind. There's another time to say every organ, action, function, my body is perfect. There's another time. Right now, we're learning 2 times 2 is 4. Later, we learn 2 times 4 is 8. But when I give these things to you, I want you to remember them. And don't be creative. Don't be creative coming up with your own concept of it. You can do that after the talk is over and after you're on your own. But when you're in the lesson, you give the teacher what you... If you don't answer the teacher what the teacher expects for you in the class, you don't pass. You may know it perfectly, upside down, inside out, and backwards. But if you don't give the teacher the answer that the teacher must have... When was the War of 1812 fought? Simple. You don't say in the year of 1812, or you don't say around 1812. You don't say, you say in 1812. You know? Just a simple answer. You don't say John Henry was president and when Paul was mayor of New York, you know? Those are extraneous, unimportant. You understand? And oftentimes we want to bring them in. Oh, yes, my great-great-great-grandfather was there at that time, and he was mayor excuse me, he was mayor of New York. He was all these neat things, you know. And so what? The teacher wants one answer. What? Schnell. 1812.
Oh, well, you're still here.
Well, yes, I'm still there. I'm still there. That's why I took you on these circuitous trips around.
I'm in peace.
Yeah. Okay, so the difference between what we do and what we're capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. Now, why don't we do what we're capable of doing? Because if somebody comes up to you and says, my mother just died, you say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. You are not. You don't give a damn. You really don't give a damn. Because you don't know her mother. If you know her, you don't really care. And they're living their life and doing their thing. What you mean to say is, well, you were very blessed to have her in your world, to have her be your mother and give you all of the lovely things that she shared with you. What a joy it was to have a mother like that. Something like that, you know. Not too bad she's gone, you know. The old babe, 240 years old, you know. Too bad she's gone. She could have lived another 10 minutes, you know. But that's judgment. And we don't want to have judgment. Because every time we have judgment, what happens?
Mm-hmm. You're going down the hill.
That's right. I'm glad you realize we're not on television.
Mm-hmm.
We're in radio here.
All right.
You got to say the words. Ellen gave all the demonstration of thumbs down. But you see, the difference between what we do and what we're capable of doing, that's a big difference. Because what we do is we act human. Oh, I'm so sorry your mom died. You must feel very hurt in your heart. You must feel a great loss. Oh, come on, get off it. You just go on. You just the grieving should be no more than a second, if that long. You know, bye, Mom. You know. And let it go. Oh, sure, you can love your mom. You'll love all the things that she's been in your life, or not love her, depending upon your relationship. But you have to be master of yourself. Can you be master of yourself?
Yes.
All right. Now, what did Stefan do when his father died? He took control, didn't he?
Yes, he was in charge.
The whole family was sort of unhappy and in a mess, and Stefan just walked in there, having been a student at the University of Healing for long enough, he gained balance, and he walked in there, and he says, thank you, Dad. You're wonderful. He said, okay, now, what arrangements are we going to make? You know, what have you set up that we're going to do? Oh, who can talk about it at a time? Like, this is the time you got to talk about it. It's not, hey, we miss Pop. But if we were so hung up on him, we would have never moved out of the country. You know, we would have never left his side. We would have bought the house next door, you know, but, or lived in the basement if we were so hung up on. But no, we're letting the mom and the pop and whoever else go their own way and do their own thing. Not that we don't love them, but we have our own life now, and that's the way it should be. So, you see, we have that ability within ourselves to handle any situation, and it's just a matter of which direction we go in handling the situation, whether we go in the direction of being human or divine. Now, to go in the direction of being human is not bad. It is limiting, but it's not bad. Because if you have compassion and love and caring for people, that's great. But that's only the little bit. See, the difference between what we're capable of doing and what we do. See, what we're capable of doing is seeing everyone divine, seeing everything fabulous, beautiful, glorious. And what we're doing is we're seeing everything limited, human. And that's unfortunate. Now, do you see the spot on the floor, or do you see the clean rug? Do you see the cloud in the sky, or do you see the blue sky? Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, what do you see? I mean, what are you going to look at? You're going to look at the blue sky. You're going to look at the clean carpet. And if there's a spot on the carpet, you just go at it because you want it to be a clean carpet. You're not going at the bad spot. You're going You're bringing out the clean carpet. See, the clean carpet's there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It just wants to be revealed. And so you're revealing it. Somebody unrevealed it for a little while, you know, and that's okay. Now, there are some people who like an unrevealed carpet. They like a dirty carpet. Now, Herb, why do you say something like that? That is not very nice. No, you get a carpet that doesn't show the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You get a carpet that doesn't show the dirt, so therefore the dirt doesn't disturb you. The carpet and the dirt are all one.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you vacuum it now and then, but the point is you get a carpet that doesn't show the dirt. Now, why do you buy certain clothes that don't show the dirt? Why does a mother who has little babies that are burping and stuff wear clothing that doesn't show it? They think of that. Because they can't be changing their clothes every 10 minutes when the baby burps on their shoulder or something, you know. They put a cloth up here, but it goes right through the cloth, you know. I mean, the baby's got a good quantity. And so when he burps good. But you see, the difference between what we can do and what we're capable of doing, what we do and what we're capable of doing, is quite different. A mother who is sophisticated has no problem with children. Children are not a burden to her. She can go anywhere, do anything, have fun, even go skiing, and have the little one hanging in there, and never think a thing about it. And I mean, my gosh, if she'd fall right on top, flat, you know, bye-bye, kid, you know. No, she doesn't even think of that. She doesn't even think of that. She's balance, harmony, peace. And the kids, woo, do it again. You know, because she has no fear, they have no fear. And the minute she starts getting fear, then bad things happen. Not bad things, the things that she had programmed happen. Whatever she feared. We know that, Stephen. What you fear comes upon you. So let's just get on the ball here. Mahatma Gandhi gave us some good advice. The difference between what we do and what we are capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. Now, are you doing a little of what you're capable of doing? More? Or a lot of what you're capable of doing? Or is your desire in life to always do what you're capable of doing, giving your best under all circumstances? Never allowing yourself to be touched by circumstances, but just always being in charge. Can you do that? Yes, you can do it. Are you doing it? Well, you're thinking about it. Will you do it? Perhaps. Time will tell, won't it?
It's done.
If that's what you'd like it to be, and I say, and so it is.
Yeah.
I love you.
Love you.
Love you.